Louise Kentlin on Today FM.
Well, here I am joined with Fergal Lawler of the Cranberries. Fergal, you're the drummer in the band. And listen, I have to start by saying congratulations. Not one, but three Cranberries tunes, as voted by Today FM listeners. The greatest 100 songs, and you've got three in the top 14.
It's crazy. I can't believe it. It's absolutely mind-blowing. It's fantastic. Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about writing a song like Zombie that, I mean, 30 years after it's been written, it still resonates with the listeners all around the world.
Yeah, I remember the day Dolores walked into we had a rehearsal room out in Mungret, and she walked in with her guitar and said, I have this kind of angry song, an idea for a song, it's kind of angry, so have you any distortion pedals, and you know, because it needs to be aggressive in the chorus. So she started playing it and we were listening, and then she kicked in this distortion pedal and it was a big wow, you know, wall of sound kind of thing. And you know, she said, give it Welly on the drums, go for it, like, you know, really aggressively. So she started playing it over and over a few times. We listened and kind of started adding her own bits in, and then started working on it and just playing it over and over again, getting the feel of it and making it stronger.
Wow. Like, as a drummer, when you hear a song or sample a song like Zombie for the first time, do you just know it's going to be massive, like sound-wise?
I think after we played it a few times live, even before we recorded it, we played it for like about a year or two live, and the reaction was incredible from the audience for a song they'd never heard. By the time the chorus came around the second time, they were kind of like, you know, singing the words and stuff. It was incredible.
Yeah. You mentioned Dolores walking into the recording studio in Mungret with the song ready to go. Was that her style? Like, I feel like I would never have the pleasure of meeting her, but she seems like the coolest person that just kind of knew what she wanted, knew her own mind, knew her own sound.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, very much so. She knew exactly what she wanted. She was very determined as well to be, you know, this is the way I want to do it. And
yeah. So how would a recording session go? Were you ever like, was it kind of Dolores' way or the highway?
No. It was all very, everyone had their own thing to do. You know, no one ever said, you should play this or you should play that. We all had our individual pockets and we trusted each other enough to know that it was going to work. You know, and there was never any issue with, ooh, you shouldn't do that or you should try it this way. You know, it was very, very trusting relationship.
Yeah. And tell me, why do you think Zombie has stood the test of time the way it has? Because it's quite a politically charged song.
Yeah, a lot of people kind of read it as a political song, but it's more a song of peace. And, you know, she was angry over the bombing of those two kids in Warrington and, you know, wanted to express her emotion about it. But it was always her idea to come at it from the side of peace, of war is such a futile thing and the innocent people and children are the ones who suffer the most. So that, I think that's why it resonates with people, because it's still relevant today.
So true. We might talk about Linger and Dreams. They come from maybe your earlier batch of songs. I know we caught up with Noel a little earlier, who told us that Dreams was one of the first songs you ever messed around with.
Yeah, Linger was actually the first song.
Wow.
And then Dreams was like a month or two later.
So, like, talk to me a little bit about that. Like, did you know as soon as you heard Linger and Dreams that they were really special?
No. To us, they were just a new song we're working on. You know, you don't think of it like that. You're just in the moment kind of thinking, okay, how can we make this better? And what can I do to make this sound cool or whatever?
Yeah. Because your music took off in America first, am I right? So tell me a little bit about, like, getting the phone call, first of all, to say that there's audiences really enjoying what they're listening to. And then I suppose, secondly, performing on those stages and actually realising, okay, people love what the Cranberries are doing.
Yeah, we had been touring around the UK, Ireland and Europe for a couple of years. And, you know, there was a bit of interest, but nothing major. And then we were opening up for the Hothouse Flowers in around Europe and mainland Europe. It was our first time in mainland Europe and nobody knew who we were. Nobody. And we were just, you know, 19, 20 year old kids on a summer holiday, basically, you know, playing for half an hour and then, you know, wander around the place exploring. And then we got a phone call saying, you know, you need to get over to the States and do a tour here because it's, you know, Linger's taken off on college radio. So I remember the first gig was at Denver, Colorado, we were opening up for Dede, you know, that band. And yeah, we came on the stage and the whole crowd started singing all the songs, not just Linger or whatever. It was like the whole album. They knew every song. And we were like, oh my God, this is incredible.
Wow.
Yeah, so that was the start of it then, and just got bigger and bigger from there.
So I guess this is like the early 90s and you're four young pals from Limerick. Like, how do you react to a reaction like that? When you did you know from that early stage that the Cranberries was going to be as big globally as it was?
No, I don't think so. We were just kind of in the moment, kind of going, this is incredible, but it could all end tomorrow. You know, you just don't know. So we just said, let's make the most of it. And we just had a ball, really. You know, that first tour was just incredible. Hard work, but great fun.
Yeah. What was the most rock and roll you've ever felt in the Cranberries?
Oh, I don't know. I never liked limos or anything like that. You know, they're really uncomfortable. I remember the first time when we were in the States, of course, we got a limo radio station opening thing or something. And we jumped in and we were like, ooh, it's kind of ceiling is low. And, you know,
you wouldn't get one of those in Limerick.
I prefer a van, much more comfortable.
And like, because again, I want to bring it back to Doris, because to me, she seemed like the ultimate, like, kind of rock chick girl. I think she didn't care what anyone thought about her, and she seemed to be just so cool.
Yeah, that's the one thing I really respected about her, was she wouldn't stand for fake people trying to make her into something she wasn't. You know, I remember there was an interview she was doing in the States at the early days, and they said, we wanted you to take off all your clothes and get into this box and kind of kick the box open and kind of like breaking free. And she was like, that's a lot of crap. Like, I'm not doing that at all. No way. And then it's like, oh, she's really awkward or something. And it's like, no, I'm like, she's standing up for what she believes in. And she was right, you know.
Do you think that people hear Dolores' vocals now and like, that's the legacy the Cranberries have? Like, she's everything the band was, I suppose. You know, I'd imagine a character like that is the core of a unit like the Cranberries.
Yeah, totally, yeah. The lead singer is always a focal point of any band, but with Dolores, it's another level again, because her voice is completely unique. There's nobody that sounds like her in the world and has ever sounded like that. She's completely unique.
What do you think Dolores would have made of a vote like this? The whole of Ireland voting on their greatest Irish songs of all time and choosing the Cranberries at 14, 4 and number 1.
Yeah, she'd be absolutely blown away. She was so proud of Ireland, you know. I was happy to come back here, and you know, I was proud to say she was Irish first and foremost.
I'd say you miss her terribly.
Yeah, it's still strange, you know. I'm always thinking about her, and then you hear a song on the radio or doing an interview or looking back through old material for new releases and stuff like that. You just completely always reminded of her, but try to be positive about it, you know.
Well, what an incredible legacy she's left. How do you feel then when you like hear the songs, I suppose, years on? Because it's now a very different audience, isn't it, that's listening to the music?
It's incredible that young people, a whole new generation that weren't even born when the Cranberries started and were popular, have now discovered the band. It's mind-blowing. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. I don't understand it, but it's amazing. It really is.
And talk to me about Dreams. 2018 was obviously a really sad year for the band. You tragically lost Dolores. Limerick won the All-Ireland for the first time in 73 years. And Dreams became the soundtrack of this city. So what was it like to hear a song like Dreams that you had written and brought to life become the soundtrack of the city that Raragy?
It was just shiver up the spine, complete and utter. It was amazing. Absolutely amazing. You know, the way Zombie has become the rugby anthem in Munster, and then Dreams is the hurling anthem. It's incredible. Yeah. Just so proud, really.
Did you ever think it, like when you were young lads walking up and down O'Connell Street, Bedford Row, that you'd be the soundtrack of the city?
No, not at all. It's fantastic. I love it. It's great.
It's absolutely class. Well, look, Ferg, it's been a pleasure to chat with you. I'm trying to think if there's any other good question to ask a drummer now. What's a drummer never asked?
I don't know. I haven't played drums in a while, actually. I've about 2 or 3 years. My daughter's taken over the baton now. She's playing.
Go away.
Yeah.
Drummer as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Has she done any Cranberries covers?
No, she's too embarrassed.
I don't believe you.
I've shown her a few bits, and but she's off on her own path now. I don't want to be too, you know, try this way.
Yeah.
You know.
Unbelievable. Well, Fergie Lawler, all I can say is thank you so much for everything the Cranberries did. Number one, Zombie, the greatest song to come out of Ireland. There you go.
Louise Kentelan on Today FM.
Gurmi Lamaga, Ray Foley. Well, it sounds like you're having an absolute ball in Whelan's and Falta Gulimnach. I tell you, it doesn't get better than this. I'm here sat in Noel Hogan of the Cranberries living room to present him with the biggest accolade of all, Zombie. It was voted by a distance the best song, number one, the greatest Irish song as voted by Today FM listeners. Congratulations, Noel.
Thank you. Yeah, I suppose I should thank everybody who voted for us more than anything else. It's a huge surprise, I guess, for us, given how old the song is and that it's still, you know, it means so much to so many people. So a great honour, and thank you all so much for voting for it.
Over 80,000 votes were counted, and Zombie was by far and away the winner. What's it like to have written a song that still resonates with people 30 years on?
I think we're more surprised than anybody else that, you know, something you do, like we were only in our 20s, we were kids really, and you do, you know, you write songs and then you release them into the world, and it's kind of just another song that for of all the other songs you have. But this one has kind of really, it has its own life at this point now. It's a lovely feeling to hear it constantly. Like literally this morning, a friend of mine who's away in Spain sent me a video. He was walking down the street at this small kind of village, and there's someone busking singing Zombie, you know, so it's cool.
Yeah, like it's travelled all over the world, and the amazing thing, and maybe tragic thing as well, is that the words still really resonate today. Mm. So talk to me a little bit about writing the song.
Well, this one, Zombie, was one of Dolores's ones, and she brought it in. And I guess it was the one where, for our sound at the time, we'd be known for like Dreams and Linger, very pop, jingly guitar ones. And a lot of the stuff we had done to that point was on the lighter side. But, you know, she wrote the song, she felt very passionate about, you know, the subject matter of it, and wanted it to be an angry song. So she was like, we started off with it and it was kind of back to the jingly thing. She was like, no, this needs to be kind of hard and heavy and, you know, unlike anything we've done before. And it started to evolve from that point on. And it kind of, in many ways for us, it even changed the sound of how the band moved forward to a heavier kind of sound as well. And the funny thing is, it's not a song you would have thought of initially would be a big hit because of the subject. And it was a heavier song than kind of what would have been played on radio at the time. So, I mean, it's just one of those things, it keeps surprising you from the very day, you know, it was born to here we are, whatever, 30 something years later.
Yeah, it's quite incredible. What do you think Dolores would have made of a vote like this?
She'd love all this. Yeah.
Would she?
Yeah, yeah. You know, she'd probably be less surprised than we are, because she was always being quite confident about how it, you know, yeah, that's a good song. I know it is, you know. So, because she really did as well, I guess she was the one who thought this would be a great single. Because at first you're thinking, really, you know, would it? But you know, she was right. And no, she'd absolutely love all this.
Would she?
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know, as a Limerick woman, I know I went to the same school as Dolores. I never had the privilege of meeting her, but something about her seems so cool. You know, as the Gen Zers say, when someone has the riz.
Okay.
Was she really rizzy as a person? Do you know what I mean by rizzy? Charisma.
I'm kind of getting what you're saying, yeah. But yeah, I mean, she was kind of, I guess she was cool but didn't know it. You know, she just kind of, like, she really, as they would say, kind of paddled her own boat. She just did her thing, and you could kind of come along that journey with her or just be left behind. You know, it was very much that,
yeah.
Which is good and bad when you're in a band together.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, she was great. And kind of, you know, you'd miss her. And the kind of, she had, I suppose more than anything else, it's her sense of humour that we would have got between the four of us in the band. Because I guess Dolores, she came from out of town, so she had a different kind of sense of humour to the three of us, you know, then, because we were kind of the city boys. So you miss all that. And yeah, I mean, like, look, we knew a kind of a quieter Dolores, I guess, initially, and then developed into, you know, the one, the kind of more, there was the public Dolores, but the private one, you know, she was a different person, but always great fun.
Yeah. I've heard people say that, like, a kind of magic happened when she got into her zone on the stage. I presume you experienced that loads of times.
Oh yeah, you knew. It's funny because she'd be as nervous as the rest of us backstage. You know, you have those few minutes before you're going on and you're kind of, adrenaline is flowing and your heart's pounding, and she'd be as bad, and she'd be over, she'd be hugging everybody. And then like one song in, it's like a different beast is up there. You know, it's completely changed. And having done a few shows without her where I've had to kind of do a bit of the talking, I hate every minute of it.
With that lovely Limerick accent.
You know, and then I think, how did she do this for 30 years? Trying to come up with stuff to say in between songs all the time. But look, I mean, she just had, you know, she had that thing that, you know, a lot of people try to get, but it just came very naturally to her.
Yeah. Do you think that's a big part of the Cranberries' legacy? You know, because she was outspoken, she was political, she said what she felt, and I think that set you apart as well for years.
Yeah, I mean, from day one, I mean, even when we were starting out and we did a lot of smaller shows across the UK, and they would send out journalists, and the amount of times she'd just go, I'm done with this, and get up and walk out middle of of an interview, you just and you're left sitting there going,
that's exactly what I mean by the riz.
Yeah, you know, and you kind of just sitting there going, well, I guess we're done then, you know, I leave after her. So, I mean, yeah, I think maybe at the time people didn't quite get it as much. And as time has gone by, it's become more kind of obvious of how good she was. And I guess, look, that's like a lot of artists. It's not until they're gone that people kind of appreciate them more.
Yeah. Well, listen, the people of Ireland are clearly obsessed with the Cranberries still 30 years on, as we've mentioned. Three of your songs are in the top 14. We had Linger at number 14, Dreams at number 4, and then, of course, Zombie at number 1. So I wanted to ask you about Dreams because, again, a big year in Limerick was 2018. Mm. Was obviously a massive year for you guys and the Cranberries losing Dolores. Limerick win the All-Ireland and the song Dreams kind of becomes... forget about Limerick, you're a lady. It was all about Dreams and it has been ever since.
Yeah, I mean, it's great for us. You know, so, you know, we're kind of guaranteed every year, you know, there'd be a spike in it. But it's another one. I think obviously after Zombie, Dreams would be the next biggest song we had. Between ads, movies and, you know, with the hurling, it just that's another song that just keeps kind of going and going as well. And that's an even older song. That's one of the very, very early ones that I can still remember being in my bedroom in my parents' house, kind of jingling around with that and then bringing it in and how it developed from there. And little do you think, you know, on a kind of Wednesday afternoon when you're kind of looking out the window, messing about with your guitar, that all these years later that a song like that would be, you know, still as massive. And the fact that we've three songs that have done so well in this chart, I mean, we must have done something right, I guess, then. Yeah.
So, Noel, you wrote Dreams sitting in your parents' gaff in Limerick.
It started there, yeah.
Stop.
Yeah. Yeah, but sure, we were only, God, 18 maybe. At the time, you know, we were really, really young when we started. Like, we kind of left school and started a band. So a lot of those, like Linger and Dreams, you know, in particular, were very early songs. Like Linger is the first song that we wrote together. So that was day one of meeting Dolores, yeah.
Day one?
Yeah. Yeah, Dolores came up, did a quick audition. We did an audition for her. And then I had just me playing acoustic on a cassette and said, I have this idea. You want to take that home and see? And she came back. That was a Sunday. I think she came back on a Thursday and goes, I've worked on that. Let's give this a go. And then that was Linger. It was kind of born from there.
Wow.
Yeah.
And did it change much at all from that initial version of Linger to the one we hear now?
We all were kind of plugged into one amp, so it was really hard to hear the lyrics properly. But you could hear the melody and you knew there was something there. When we went and recorded the actual proper version, it changed a bit, but not massively. We had a great producer who worked with us all through our career, started with that song. And Stephen helped kind of put a nice polish on it, and we got real strings on, because Dolores used to play the string part on a keyboard initially. But I mean, the bare bones of the song have always been the same. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
It's some legacy of a song, isn't it? And I know that, like, you became successful in America before it took off in Ireland. So do you remember that moment, like, when the song got famous in Ireland? Because there's nothing like landing back into Limerick City and people being like, oh, you're your man that does linger.
Yeah, that was really weird because we had left here to go on a tour with the Hothouse Flowers in Europe.
Yeah.
And during that time, I think we were in Germany with them, and we were not known at all. Like, we couldn't, as they say, get arrested over here or anywhere. And then we started getting these calls saying, oh, you need to drop what you're doing, come to America. Linger is after going into the charts. I think it had gone in at number 8 due to college radio had picked up on it. So we flew over there. We kind of left that tour a little bit early, and we did our first ever show in Denver, Colorado. And I remember we went out, and it was kind of crazy because everyone knew all the lyrics to all the songs because the album was crawling up the charts there.
Yeah.
And we did. We stayed there for a few months and the band kind of exploded during that time. But we landed back here after we were gone a long time at that point. And like, we'd literally gone out to Shannon, the usual, flown to wherever with nobody knowing us.
Yeah.
And we came back and Shannon Airport was just rammed with press and, you know, the new, like, RTE were down. And
What year was this?
This would have been, I guess, 93, 94, I think.
Yeah.
But it was just, and I remember, like, my dad being in the crowd, kind of, as he'd come out to pick us up, as he always did when we came back from tours.
Yeah.
But it was normally like him and the other parents kind of there to pick us up. And yeah, it was like trying to get through the crowd and everyone shoving microphones in your face. And it was just, it was bizarre to come home to that because we'd never experienced that here. And then there was that initial thing for the first few weeks where we were kind of getting stopped in the street, which is grand when you're away, but not when you're kind of, you know.
Did anyone ever really humble you in Limerick?
Oh, sure, as time goes on, they get, you know, they soon got kind of very used to seeing us around. Yeah. And you know, I remember as the years went by, and we wouldn't have done as much here anymore, but you would have still been very popular in the States or even in Asia. And I think we came back from a tour from China or somewhere like that, or Japan, or, and it had been really successful tour.
Yeah.
And I remember Butcher saying to you, what are you doing with yourself these days? You know, so they kind of, people, because you're not, you know, in the paper all the time, you're not kind of at the forefront, the people kind of, I guess, thought in many ways that we were gone at a point. Yeah.
Well, listen, that's hilarious. And I love the way the Limerick crowd can keep you humble anyway, keep the feet firmly on the ground. You're performing a little bit now with Dermot Kennedy. He has performed Dreams and Zombie. How does that feel?
It's different, you know, like we did it. Look, we were meant to do this one off for the Electric Picnic last year. We'd been asked a few times to do it and kind of, I guess, the timing was never right. It didn't feel right. And how would you do it? And look, you can't replace Dolores, you know. And then I think how they kind of sold it, it was MCD. We're kind of going, look, we can get you the RTE orchestra, you know. And I was like, oh, that could be good as well.
Yeah.
And we still, at that point, it was meant to be just kind of instrumental orchestra. And then the more I thought about it, I thought, you know, that's grand for a few songs, but an hour of that is, you know, it might get a little bit too much for people. So took a chance and knew someone who knew Dermot, sent a message. And then like a day later, he was like, yeah, I'll do that. And I was like, really? And then it kind of becomes real that it's actually happening when he said he'd do it. And it went down so well. I mean, we thought we'd do, you know, the hour, go off in our merry way and that'll be that, you know. But I mean, the weeks afterwards were just phenomenal how well it was received. So we did a Hot Press had a 50th anniversary kind of gig there a month ago maybe, and they had asked us a few times, and it was just a case then because I think Dermot has a new album coming out and he's doing a lot of promo, if the dates would work for him, and it did work. So we ran up and did a few songs that night as well, so it was good fun. So it was great. It was lovely. It's really nice to hear the songs live again.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. I think a lot of younger people would have never have heard them live in the way we would have played them. And also for us to hear them live, because you know, there was a point, whatever, 8 or 9 years ago, where you kind of thought they'll never be played live again in our way. So it was lovely to hear it. And I mean, we absolutely loved every minute of it. We really enjoyed it.
And will there be more from the Cranberries?
No, I mean, the Cranberries as such is kind of a done deal now. But look, I mean, now and again, if there's, you know, there's a, I guess, an opportunity to play a gig, something like we did with Dermot again. And if the timing is right and things would work out right, you know, never say never, as they say. Yeah.
And what about you, Noel? Are you still writing music?
Not so
much. Are you still jamming to Dreams in your bedroom?
No, I let Dreams do all the work for me now, you know. I in and out, I did for a couple of years after we finished. I wrote with other people, but it just wasn't the same. It's never been the same. You know, you write with the one person for so long, and we had a way of doing it. We had a rhythm that worked, and we didn't really have to. There wasn't a whole lot of work put in, you know, in that sense. It was a natural flow. I found doing it for other people, I was starting to dislike it. Kind of, it just wasn't really the same. So I literally, up until a few weeks ago, hadn't done any writing in a few years and didn't miss it. But I've been dabbling a bit of late. I think the Electric Picnic,
Is it exclusive?
Kind of, you know, it did kind of make you remember, I guess, how much you really liked doing that stuff, you know. So, but look, I mean, it's more than likely just stuff that I'll keep here and, you know, never to be heard.
I'm hearing Watch This Space anyway today. Listen, our listeners will be thrilled to hear it. Zombie, Ivra Hayne, number one, the greatest song in Ireland as voted for by the Today FM listener.
Louise Kentland on Today FM.